From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Thomas Rowe Price, Jr., born in Baltimore County at the end of the 19th century, set out to be an industrial chemist, but fell in love with investing, choosing stocks by analyzing how a company will add value to the economy. His biographer Cornelius Bond says by the time he set up T. Rowe Price & Associates a few years after the Great Depression, Price was out of step with other investment managers.
Most people were focused on capital preservation, not growth of capital. They invested in companies that paid a big dividend and that were very solid companies. Mr. Price bought growth companies that were growing faster than the economy.
The story of the father of growth investing on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. T. Rowe Price. Three short syllables we've heard a thousand times, part of the lore and legacy of Baltimore. What is T. Rowe Price? A financial company, sure. So is that price at the end a nod to the marketplace? Or are the T and the Rowe and the Price the residue names from some merger? None of the above. T. Rowe Price is a person, Thomas Rowe Price, Jr., son of a country doctor in Glendon, northwest Baltimore County. The young man made himself into one of the most successful investors in the country by analyzing, defining, and buying into growth stocks. In its obituary 36 years ago, the New York Times wrote, quote, "In Baltimore, it was said that Mr. Price was to the financial world what H.L. Mencken was to literature," close quote. In their respective worlds, both were called the Sage of Baltimore. Cornelius Bond worked for T. Rowe Price. He's written a glowing but interesting biography titled T. Rowe Price, The Man, The Company, The Investment Philosophy. And Cornelius Bond is here to tell us about it. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
What did you do at T. Rowe Price & Associates?
Well, I joined as an analyst, which meant I analyzed stocks for investment. I became fairly quickly a member of the New Horizons Fund Management Committee.
That was a mutual fund.
That was actually our second mutual fund. And I worked directly with Mr. Price on that mutual fund. Later on, I managed the Growth Stock Fund and became a director of the firm. But that was much later on.
How long were you with the firm altogether?
I was 20 years with the firm.
And your early career path is a bit like T. Rowe Price's in that he trained as an industrial chemist but grew fascinated by finance. You trained as an electrical engineer.
You're right. There were a number of similarities, actually, between the two of us in that sense. I discovered, as he did, after 4 or 5 years of being an electrical engineer, that I spent more time reading the Wall Street Journal and Barron's than I did studying the electrical engineering books that I probably should have. And fortunately, I took a class with a gentleman named Walter Kidd at the old McCoy School at Johns Hopkins at night.
And the McCoy School is now the School of Education?
I think that's correct, yes. And Walter was the head of research at T. Rowe Price. And I used to spend a lot of time after class. Fortunately, Walter was a bachelor, talking about investment. And ultimately, Walter asked me if I might like to join T. Rowe Price. He only did that, incidentally, because he was a very thorough analyst. He only did that after he read the final exam and had given me a nice high mark. He wanted to make sure that I was the right person for the job.
What was T. Rowe Price like to work with?
He was a tough but fair boss. He was dedicated to being the very best investment, having the very best investment program in the country. being the best investor. He was intensely competitive. And some of us at T. Rowe Price often thought that he was competing against us as far as investment performance was concerned. But that kept us on our toes. Working for him was a real privilege, and I learned an awful lot.
What is a growth stock, and why so important to building a nest egg?
Mr. Price's focus in investing was not on stocks, but it was on companies. And it's pretty common sense, as his grandmother said, horse sense. Basically, he, after working at DuPont, as he did in the early 20s, he decided or formulated the concept that the best way to be successful as an investor was to focus on the very best companies in the country, the companies that were growing far faster than the economy as a whole, as DuPont was at that time. And the growth stock philosophy he developed over the years basically was, how do you identify those companies? So that was the fundamental growth stock philosophy, which I do spend quite a bit of time on in the book.
Yeah, you go into it in a lot, and I want listeners to understand a bit better. You mentioned DuPont. That was one of two chemist jobs that he held, and he learned lessons at both of them. Can you sort of summarize what he learned at the first company, how that contrasted with DuPont?
Yes, the first company he worked for, fresh out of college and trained as a chemist, was a plating company in Pennsylvania. And its only real raison d'etre was that it was near Pittsburgh, where its source of material was. And it basically took the steel from Pittsburgh and it plated it and then resold it. There wasn't a lot of technology involved. Mr. Price was there probably 4 months in total. At the end of that time, the company went bankrupt largely because there was a national steel strike. And when the employees walked out of his company, the company went bankrupt. He learned a lesson in the sense that you wanted to work for a company that had unique technology that was financially very secure and certainly had a good labor relations. His next company was DuPont. It was almost going from one extreme to the other. He went from one really poorly managed, poorly financed company to one of the great companies of the world. It was a little bit like a few years ago when one graduated as a computer analyst working for IBM. And at DuPont, he really learned how a good company operated, and he carried this into his work as an investment.
That's Cornelius Bond here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his newly published biography of investment manager T. Rowe Price. So that was in the late teens. T. Rowe Price got his first job in finance with no experience at a small Baltimore stock brokerage after a recession in 1920-21. Hated selling stocks, but loved finance, and pretty soon moved to a larger firm, McCubbin Goodrich & Company, and that's where he was working when the stock market crashed in 1929. How did the stock market crash affect him?
It was it affected him personally in this. He lost money along with others in the stock market crash, but it was a unique teaching experience for him. He saw firsthand how investors reacted to dramatic change and how you could take advantage of that. He wrote a journal for most of his career. And in that journal in 1932, very close to the bottom of the stock market, he said, now is the time to become invested. There's a tremendous future ahead for this country. That was at a time when most people were trying to protect the small amount of money they had left, much less think about the future. That was really the first indication of this amazing facility that he had to forecast the distant, more distant future. Mr. Price always, incidentally, believed in investing on the long term. As he said, it takes at least 10 years to through a business cycle before you can realize whether a company is a growth stock or not.
At some point in the mid-30s, he persuaded McCubbin to let him set up an investment management unit. What was that about?
He became convinced that what he really wanted to do was not manage bonds, but manage, get back to really his first job in the finance business, which was equity. He was fascinated.
I should probably interrupt you and ask for a quick definition of equity and bond.
A bond is an instrument that has a certain rate of interest, and the corporation or country that might issue the bond stands behind the bond and guarantees that the investor will be paid. And equity, as I refer to it at least, is common stock, and there's no guarantee that that will be paid. It usually has a dividend, and it fluctuates with the company. It represents a share in that business.
So he sets up this investment management unit, and what's it supposed to do?
Well, the investment management was fairly unique in that time, certainly in the Baltimore area. It took clients that had accumulated some assets, and it helped them invest those assets so that they built up their estate over time.
Was it successful?
It was successful in the sense that they began to build up clients. It was unsuccessful in the sense that unfortunately it lost money. It was early days, and it took them longer, particularly in the throes of the end of the Depression, to get profitable. So it wasn't successful as far as profits were concerned. It's proved to be a problem.
And so McCubbin decided to shut that unit down, and essentially T. Rowe Price took that as his cue to leave McCubbin and set out on his own.
Exactly right. He did that in 1937. He resigned in March of 1937 from McCubbin Legg, and a few months later set up his own company at 10 Light Street, not too far away. He was fortunate, or unfortunate in one sense, fortunate in another. One of his largest clients was his wife's father, who passed away in 1937, but left enough money, which translated to about $2 million in today's dollars, to help him get started with his company, to finance the rough spots that he obviously was going to have before it became profitable.
And there were rough spots. You take us through how hard it was to set up that company. But at the time he left, you quote that he wrote in his diary, leaving the established firm, "I'm a misfit." And I get the impression he was saying that with some pride.
Yes.
What did he mean?
He danced to a bit of a different drummer than the other partners, and that actually created friction between Mr. Price and the other partners, and was one of the reasons that they, aside from the large losses that unfortunately he was incurring at that time, his division was for him to for them to shut down his management department. But he focused solely on the client. He wanted to perform the best he could for the client. He wanted to buy stocks that were good for the client over the longer term, not stocks that necessarily were going to have a big commission for him or reward the company immediately, but companies that were good for the client. And he saw that he indeed was a misfit in that sense. His focus on the client was very different than the focus on commissions and shorter-term gains that most of the people at McCubbin Legg took. So he was a misfit. and proud of it.
We're going to take a quick break here on the record. We're talking to Cornelius Bond about his biography of T. Rowe Price, subtitled The Man, the Company, the Investment Philosophy. When we're back from our break, we'll talk about how companies are like people. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this morning about investing, in particular, the strategy of growth stock investing, pioneered by Thomas Rowe Price Jr. when he set up his firm T. Rowe Price & Associates in 1937. Buy and hold is a common approach now, but coming out of the Great Depression, investors were more focused on dodging the next downturn than looking past the business cycle. My guest is Cornelius Bond, who has just published a favorable biography titled T. Rowe Price, The Man, the Company, the Investment Philosophy. You write that T. Rowe Price's concept of growth stocks as the core of investing was radical in the 1930s. Radical in what way?
It was radical in the sense that it focused on growth. As I said, at that time in the Great Depression, most people were focused on capital preservation, not growth of capital. They invested in companies that paid a big dividend and that were very solid companies. Mr. Price bought growth companies that were growing faster than the economy, that usually actually paid a small dividend, in some cases had relatively untried management. But through careful research, through careful analysis, Mr. Price and the team that he developed were able to determine that these companies were going to be future growth companies. As I said, very much like his first experience at DuPont, which was one of the first really great companies, growth companies in this country.
Price likened investments to humans in having a life cycle, a growth phase followed by maturity, followed by decline, which he called decadence. Does it follow that growth companies are always young, new companies?
Well, companies in general are he felt like people. They were born, they grew slowly for a while until they got their legs underneath them, until they got some momentum. They developed a niche in the market. And then they began to grow much more rapidly, as we do in our early 20s and 30s. And then they gradually, as they reach their 50s and 60s, begin to mature. And then later, 70s, 80s, it stretches out these days. But begin to mature into what he called decadence and begin to decline towards death or bankruptcy or just phasing out of business in the case of companies.
So it's always a dangerous sign when a company's been around for a long time?
It's amazing how some companies have short lifespans, just like people, and other companies have long lifespans. He invested, for example, in DuPont. When he went to work for it, was 120 years old. And that was in 1920, and it actually had its best years after that. So it doesn't always mean that there's a certain lifespan attached to a company. The best companies in his portfolio were 30 or 40, had been there 30 or 40 years.
What set T. Rowe Price apart from other investment managers?
I personally believe it was his total dedication to investing money. From the time he woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning until the time he went to bed at 9:30, he was totally focused on investing. He would occasionally have dinners with friends. He would take time out for nice meals and relaxation, but that was brief. His total focus during his waking days was investment. He probably knew investment better than any man in his business.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Cornelius Bond about his biography of T. Rowe Price, founder of the famous Baltimore investment management firm that bears his name. T. Rowe Price was a loner. He put a high value on privacy. You tell an amazing story of a time when he needed to be interrupted and did not want to be. Tell us that.
Yes, well, Pete Calhoun, who was worked at T. Rowe Price for many years as a portfolio manager, came into Mr. Price's office one day and sat down at his desk. And Mr. Price looked up and he said, you know, Pete, I hate to be disturbed. And Pete said, yes, sir, I understand that, and continued to sit there. Mr. Price said, well, Pete, we don't have a schedule for an interview or a discussion at this moment. Is your watch wrong? Do you think that we have an interview? He said, no, sir, I don't. Well, this sort of conversation carried on for a few minutes. And finally, Mr. Price got very annoyed. He said, Pete, leave the room. I need to work. Pete said, yes, sir, I will. But I just wanted to let you know that the office was on fire. And Mr. Price opened the door, and there were the firemen right outside the door. Indeed, there had been a small blaze in a corner of the room. So Mr. Price... That was the one time when his privacy was interrupted for a good reason.
But it really underscores how he comes through in your biography as a fairly prickly guy, impatient. And it's striking to me, you say he pointed out that growing up on a farm was a key to his success because he said it taught him human nature. How much do you think he really felt for human nature?
His son, actually, Tom Price, comments on that, and he said that Mr. Price decided at an early age or early stage in his investment career that he had to, again, totally focus on the job, and that meant that he didn't have time for much human interaction, and that included his children. But Tom said that later, when he'd retired, and he was late, very late in his life, only a year or so to live, that he let down those barriers, and he became that wonderful human being that we know he was at Swarthmore in his senior year. There's a picture in the book that depicts him in a very casual pose at Swarthmore. And we could see that as we who worked for him after late at night, and maybe we'd had a few drinks and everybody was relaxing at one of our business meetings away from the office. He would relax. And that wonderful human being, that wonderful sense of humor would come through that Tom, his son, felt in those last years of his life.
How would you summarize T. Rowe Price's legacy?
He is known, and the reason I wrote the book, really, he was one of the best investors of the 20th century. There's no question about that. He founded a company that still carries his name. Today has $1 trillion of assets under management, has literally millions of mutual fund shareholders. He developed a philosophy, a growth stock philosophy, that became very well known back in the 1960s and 70s when his funds were number one in the country, and his pension funds had some of the best performing were some of the best performing pension funds in the country. That philosophy could be used by the average person to build his own portfolio and manage it successfully. And that's really the reason I wrote the book, because there hadn't been a book before about him, and he was totally a unique person and a historic person in the world of finance.
I appreciate your sharing it with us. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Cornelius Bond's book is titled T. Rowe Price, The Man, The Company, The Investment Philosophy. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.